Welcome to the Startup Dentist Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Trutter. After over 800 plus successful dental startups, I'm here to share everything I know about starting a profitable and purposeful dental practice with you. In each episode, we get right to the core of what it takes to launch and grow a successful dental practice. So whether you've just started researching dental startups, or you've been sitting on the fence for a while, this podcast is your personal roadmap to your very own dental practice. Let's get into it. Welcome back, Startup Podcast listeners. Recently, I had the chance of interviewing an awesome doctor, one of our clients, and my own personal dentist, Dr. Andrew Vallow. What you're going to hear from him is he's been wildly successful in a short period of time. In 4 years, he's got over six, seven practices now, startup, as well as combination of some acquisitions in there. So for those that are kind of thinking like, how can I scale? But really understanding like how that first practice was his catalyst for this rapid growth and understanding the systems he has in place, the marketing elements that he does, and really the consistency they has. And then definitely check out one of my, that most recent episode. Today, we're going to dive into the topic of demographics. Having been a part of myself now nearly 1,000, I'm approaching over 1,000. My book, I think it's titled Over 800. Book's been out for a couple of years, a couple more hundred startups that are in there. I can tell you that demographics is so important. And I think I've had clients approach us whether they've come to us, like from our events and things like that. That say like, I'm trying to understand the right demographics. Like, what should I be looking for? What are the elements that are important to me? I get they have a lot of numbers. They have a lot of different ideas and they read a lot of things online. They're just not quite sure like where to begin. If that's you, today I'm going to dive into demographics. I want to help clear some of the air and the confusion on like what you need to be looking for and really give you some elements that you can post up and say, okay, great. These are the things that are important to me. These are the things I need to be looking for. So let's do this. So grab your notepad, grab your laptop, whatever you use, and let's make this dream practice of yours a living and breathing reality. So I'm going to talk about results-driven demographics. They're so important, right? Of course they are. So whether you're starting a practice or even buying a practice, this has to be one of the first items on this long grocery list that you analyze and fully understand before venturing out into the wilderness of finding real estate, getting banking, or even finding practices to purchase. And I talk about like even practices to purchase because this applies to both startups and acquisitions. If you're going to buy a practice, is that practice located in an area that aligns with the kinds of patients that you want to have? Does it align with the area that fits for you and your family? Obviously, as a startup, those elements there, family, those areas and those elements, but also we're looking beyond like, what is the demand within those areas? So it's really, really important to start to think about some elements. So whether you're buying, whether you're starting up. So ideal patient, that's one thing that I always talk through with all of our clients, things that they need to find. And even during like my course or my book, I talk about the ideal patient. So I want you to sit back as you're listening and think about like, who are some of the patients that you love to treat? What are elements, whether it's different ages, whether it's socioeconomic, kind of, and even the procedure mix. And so think about like maybe two or three of like your most favorite patients. Who are they? Define some of those elements. Age, gender, procedures, socioeconomic, are they blue collar, are they white collar, maybe personal interest if you talk with them about those things. I bet you that you'll find some common elements with those. So think through those elements before you even go into chasing ratios or even numbers when it comes to demographics. Now, there are things called demographics reports. I'm not going to knock on anybody that does these. There's a lot of great companies out there. The challenge is it tells half of the story. Most of the time, they just look at ratios. But just like me, I'll just say this, I cannot read an x-ray at my dental practice. My dentist shows me on the screen where like I have potential problems, where they need to fix things, areas that they got to watch on this tooth and things like that. So if you think about it, I've looked at, and I have team members and people at Ideal Practices, we look through like hundreds of demographical studies. Here's the difference. Study factors in personal elements into the equation. If someone just says, presses a button on a computer and says, here's a report, you're going to look at it and go, cool, I see lots of numbers. I don't know what they mean to me. and you're going to be probably more confused, or you're going to make a bad decision. Maybe you chose an area that says, wow, this is a fantastic area. The ratios here are fantastic. So let's say you're a pediatric dentist and you're like, you know what? There's this area, like there's hardly any pediatric dentist in Florida, and it's called the Villages. Truth be told, like Villages, it's a growing area. It's kind of in central Florida, kind of like north of Orlando. Some of you maybe have heard this story before, but like the Villages, like probably the best ratio for a pediatric dentist. So if you're pedo, please, however, don't book your flight and say, I'm moving to the Villages. Because here's why. It's the largest community of retired, largest retirement community, probably in the country. It is a collection of villages and small towns that connect, and these people that are 55 plus, 60, 70 years old, driving around on golf courts all over the place. It's pretty wild. Not a lot of kids there. That's the challenge. Like you may look at it and say, I found these rings. They said, this circle is where it needs to be. That's the other thing about a lot of these reports is it just looks at like things like, here's a 3-ring circle or like a 3-mile radius or 2-mile radius. Now, New York and the areas like that, like there's not a 3-mile radius. You're not getting patients from 3 miles if you're in Manhattan. You could be getting it from 3 or 4 blocks. But usually they define things on circles. Challenge with circles are roads aren't just circles. So if you look on a map and think about how people travel within an area, what if it's like, wow, I found a 3-mile radius. There's no dentist here. And in on the outskirts of these areas, it's like, oh man, they're 3.1 miles away. Now there's 20 dentists on this one road within this marketplace. So I think the other challenge with reports is there's sometimes some limitation on like what's there. And things like driving distances are really important as well, because you think about like how people get to practices. So I even look at like things like drive times and things like that to really factor in like what is the true marketplace that applies to you. Just like me, I don't know what to look at in an x-ray. Been to the dentist a few hundred times probably in my life. I kind of have an idea, but I don't look at it hundreds of times a week or a year to be able to diagnose that. That's what my dentist does. You don't know how to diagnose a demographic report because you haven't seen hundreds of them. So don't try to diagnose it yourself. Have somebody that can diagnose it, look at it, analyze it, and say, does this align for me? And get those answers. Now you have a study that is customized to your vision and the kind of patients and probably your lifestyle as well. Hey there, Startup Dentist Podcast listeners. It's Steven Trotter here, taking a quick break from today's episode to share something special with you. If you're dreaming of owning your own dental practice, then you need to get your hands on our Startup Dentist book. This isn't just any book. It's a 200-plus page comprehensive guide that covers everything you need to know to start a successful dental practice. From picking the perfect location to designing a patient-friendly office to building a marketing plan that draws in your ideal patients, we've got you covered. This book is packed with insider tips and real-world strategies. Other thing. When it comes to demographics, I always say live in the now, don't bank on tomorrow. There are tons of data points on growth, potential new employers. But one piece of advice I always give is make decisions on known factors, not necessarily speculation. I'll pick one of our clients. Her name is Dr. Adrian. She has a fantastic practice, I'll say in the New York area. And during this time, this has been a few years, during this time, it was speculated that her area was going to get one of the main news sites for this small, tiny company that we all know and we probably have an account with called Amazon. Yes, her city where she was at in her area was slated as one of those like top areas where Amazon was saying, hey, you're in the running to be one of the areas that we're going to plop one of our new sites. Tons of employment are going to be here. One day we got a phone call. Dr. Adrian said, hey guys, she called up Mike, one of our senior advisors here at Ideal Practices. I said, Mike, I won't use exact, I'll kind of like paraphrase, freaking out a little bit. Did you see the news? What was in the news? The news was Amazon didn't choose that area. Kind of a bummer, right? Yes. However, her demographics still supported her despite the potential new large employer that was not going to go in there. So did she, I always say, like, you have icing, we have cake. I love both. I like them together. we can't just have icing with no cake. In her case, she had the cake, which was a foundational area that said it aligned with different elements, where she wanted to be, the kinds of patients, the kind of growth, the numbers that supported growth within that marketplace, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The potential new employer, who knows how many people would have moved in there, could have had an influx of lots of people? Nobody knows. But what if she had said, but what if her area was not really good, didn't have the right marketplace, didn't align with her personally, didn't have the right patients that aligned with her in terms of her ideal patient? And then, but there was like, but what if Amazon came in here? Wow, it could grow this area. That's a bad marketplace if you're just basing upon potential, really speculation. In her case, she had the market. The other opportunity with Amazon coming in there, could it have been icing on the cake? Maybe. We don't know. But she already had the cake. So really good thing to say, which is there are areas of the country, especially with a lot of growth, maybe new employers and things like that, make decisions on known factors, not just the speculation of factors. Life choices are important when it comes to demographics. Travel, how far you want to travel to your practice, your home life, maybe your climate, family, schools, family, et cetera, et cetera. One of the first things I always talk about when it comes to whether you're purchasing a practice or a startup, which is, hey, what aligns for you and your family? Or maybe even future family. What if you don't have children now, but you need to factor that in? I'll say this, like I have three daughters. I said this story a lot. Moved down to Florida over 6.5 years ago. First thing was, where are the best schools? We just didn't look at it and say, hey, where are great homes? There are a lot of great homes in a lot of areas. But for us, it was like factoring in like my family. Family was priority. There's some life choices that you need to make and or things that are going to be important to you. There are a lot of people out there that say, you should go rural. Listen, I grew up in a rural area. I grew up in central Illinois. Great living, nice people. It's like Cheers. Now, I'm going to date myself because like I grew up like as a small child watching the sitcom Cheers. People know that Ted Danson, Woody Harrelson was on there. And there's like the song of Cheers. And it says, where everybody knows your name. That's rural. Now, think about that as you're going to a marketplace and you just sit. That's a factor actually too, which is, do you want to go where everybody does know your name? You're walking into the grocery store and everyone's like, hey, it's Dr. So-and-so. It could feel like a good feeling, but maybe you don't have that buffer zone between you and where everybody knows your name. Don't just say like rural. There's a lot of people say, just go rural. Okay, great. Sure, ratio-wise, probably some of the best opportunities could be in rural areas, but it applies to certain people that want to be in rural areas of the country. It needs a line for the family. And so for me personally, it was like, hey, I chased opportunities outside of rural areas. I lived in cities. I currently live in the suburbs. Why? It aligns for my family. It aligns for my lifestyle. There are people out there that'll say like, you should just go buy a small practice in a rural town. Really? How many small practices in rural towns are there to purchase? Sounds great for maybe one or two people. I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I'm just simply saying it doesn't apply to everybody. You can't just say broad stroke of the brush because, well, if everybody just started up practices or bought practices in rural areas, I don't know, maybe over a few years, maybe in 5 or 10 years, we have a different conversation, which is go to suburbs because there's no dentists in suburban areas because a lot of people said go rural. Now, that's a far-fetched thing that could happen, but look at life choices. My oldest daughter said, I start talking to her about she's a junior in high school. We are talking colleges. Her name's Bennett. And I said, Bennett, we need to talk about colleges. For her, making any decision is really kind of a challenge. I love her, but obviously, but the challenges of a 70-year-old making any decisions. I said, cool, where do you want to go to college? That was the wrong question. What I had to do was break it down in kind of some smaller parts, which were, how big of a school do you want to go to and how far away? The big school was kind of like, bigger school was kind of like a difficult decision for her. But the one thing, because she had no concept of like, what's a big school? You know, like what's a big college? She had no idea, like 40,000, 50,000 people go to the University of Florida as opposed to 10,000. Like I went to a small college, which was, you know, 2,000. For her, like 2,000 sounds like crazy because high schools here are bigger than that. But she did land on, I want to stay in the state of Florida because she says, I don't want to go any further north. I like the climate. Cool. I've had that happen. We had a client a few years ago that gave us a list of about 6 different areas. He was getting ready to separate from the military. Thank you for your service. His name is Dr. Sunny. And he said, my wife and I have talked about like where we want to be. Actually, well, I don't think he had talked to his wife about where they wanted to be. I think he said, here's like six different states. It was this whole like list of states out in the West. He's like, well, where should we go of these six states? Where's going to be the best area for me to open my practice in these six states? My answer was, I will have that answer to you maybe in a year or so. Analyzing six states is like an impossible task of being able to say, where's the best area? Because there could be like hundreds of great areas in certain states. But then how do you make the list, you know, multiply it up times six? Here's 500 areas. Go look at these 500 areas. Ugh. That's impossible for somebody to like go through really and really break that down. So I had to kind of start from that large level, which was, okay, let's start at the top. Like, where's your wife? Maybe I asked him, I said, what is climate and things like that? And that's when he said, oh, hi. For him, there was like multiple different climates. It was like north to south, things like that out west. And he said, that's a really great thing because he talked to his wife and his wife had that answer. Where she wanted to be is to really narrow down things because it narrowed down to where it lined the climate for her, the schools for the family and things like that. As the dentist in the family, him, he was just like, best area to open a dental practice. Folks, it's not just simple as best area to open a dental practice. There are some life choices. How far of a distance do you want to travel? Is your life going to be spent on the road? Do you want to travel back and forth 1 hour to each back and forth to your practice? Because you chased an opportunity, that's fine. But factor it into your life when it comes to things like if you have kids and sports or events that they do or anything like that in school could become a challenge. So life choices is a big thing that you'd really need to think about first before you set sail on looking at numbers. Okay, now understanding numbers is kind of the next topic here. So if you're a general dentist, a GP, typical ratio is about 2,000 to 1. So what does that mean? That means like for every 2,000 to 3,000 patients, there's one dentist. Ideal ratio is, I always say, like, if you can find 2,000 to 1, will that get you, number one, by just having those ratios, will that get you everywhere? No. Will you get those numbers everywhere in the marketplace? You're not going to. This is why rural, for many people, is an attraction. Most suburban areas don't even have these kinds of ratios. I've seen a lot of people that say, never start up if the ratios aren't above this number. I've even had people talk about like, it needs to be 3,000 to 1 before you start up a practice. The challenge with that is, I probably couldn't, after hundreds of markets that we have analyzed, I probably couldn't tell you a suburban marketplace that is 3,000 to 1, probably anywhere in the country. There's going to be lots of areas where you're going to be way lower than that. If that's the case, then nobody will be starting practices in any suburban areas, period. So never start up a practice in suburban areas. No, no, no. You have to look beyond the number and really understand even in some of these areas, which is who is the competition within these areas. We have analyzed areas and it's like, wow, okay, the ratios aren't that great. All right. Who are some of the dentists there? Where are they at in terms of like their cycle of ownership? Are they older? Do they have any kind of marketing? So I'll contrast a more established marketplace versus a growing marketplace and say, you may look at a growing marketplace and say, wow, these ratios are really great. I'll just pick on maybe like back in the day, I used to say the Boston-Austin thing. Boston and Austin. Boston, more established areas, obviously more established area of the country, not the kind of growth that you would expect from like in Austin, Texas. So Boston, Massachusetts versus Austin, Texas. There are probably great areas in Boston to start up a practice because there are even though the ratios may not be as high as some of the marketplaces in Austin, Texas, for example, but you may find some of the older dentists there don't have the skill set that you have, sending out different procedures, don't even have like very much of a website or marketing and things like that. We can find an opportunity that exists there. Austin, for example, Austin, Texas, on contrast, fast growing area, a lot of people flocking with those areas, business, everything in Texas, everything like that. But you have to look beyond those numbers because understand there's a lot of startups going into some of those fast growing areas. They have a lot of attraction. A lot of people hear about this. And all of a sudden you may look at the ratios and go, woo, ratios look fantastic. Don't just look for real estate just yet. Here's the difference. Lots of startups mean lots of people are vying for the eyes that you're trying to get onto your practice, marketing to your patients. So when there's a lot of startups within a marketplace, there's going to be a lot of people trying to grab at that market, grab at those patients, and try to capture the eyes of those patients for them to come into their practices. So what I'm saying is sometimes ratios that are lower could represent opportunities for growth, even if the ratios aren't perfect. So some of our greatest success stories have been in areas that are 20, 25% below this 2000 is kind of like the national. It's kind of like what a lot of people say. It's kind of been the national average for a number of years. Some of our greatest success stories are far under that number, 25, 30% underneath that number. And we created awesome success stories beyond the demographics. They found an area that aligned for them, the kinds of patients, and they had a robust marketing strategy that went towards that was able to drive patients into their practice. Now, other ratios that exist when it comes to like if you're a pediatric dentist that's listening, you're not just looking at like total numbers of people. Obviously, you're looking for littles. So what is the ratio? So ideal ratio typically that I try and land for pediatric dentists are 5,001, 5,000 children within that range. So if let's say it's under 17, I look for like a 5,000 to 1-ish ratio when it comes to pediatric patients to pediatric providers within the marketplace. The other thing that sometimes can get wonky within some of these, the number side of things are, and this even goes into, I'm going to go back a couple steps. When I talked about like reports. This is the other thing is reports, when they look at ratios, they look at practices a lot of times as opposed to providers. So if you think about like, if you're working for a DSO, you might be one doctor in a 4-doctor practice. Okay, that's 4 doctors in a marketplace. So it can't just be about the numbers of practices. It needs to be the numbers of doctors. Same thing holds true when I kind of like, now I'm going to segue back into pediatric dental and say, there might be dentists that aren't pediatric dentists, but have a focus on children's care, or they treat large numbers of children and things like that. They might not be a full provider. That might be counted as like a half a provider within the marketplace. So in other words, you still need to look into beyond the numbers of practices, but also understanding those numbers isn't just saying, okay, I found the ratio. It's great. You can find like a really, really high ratio, but what if you end up in an area that's predominantly Medicaid, lower income, and that's not really your vibe and not really, it's not your ideal patient. You can find yourself in an area that you don't love with the patients you don't desire, and that could really be a long-term bad decision. Or you buy a practice, and I'll talk about the story here in a few moments. So as we start to look at like numbers, I would love to say, look for this ratio, but it's not about simply a ratio. It's about like really understanding, what is that ratio? What does that mean for me? Who is there? What are they doing? What kinds of marketing? What is the marketing opportunity? Because you can look at, you can talk to marketing agencies. I have a ton of marketing agencies that we work with. They can see what people are spending in terms of marketing, the kind of keywords, if they're doing Google AdWords and things like that, Meta. They can see who's doing what. So even beyond like the ratio, it's also like looking at like marketing data to understand, okay, who's there? What are they marketing for? Is there a channel for me? Is there a slice of pie that I can get within that area? Those are things you want to be looking out for. Lastly is I talk about this ideal patient. Who do you like to treat? If you want to treat families, find families. If you want to treat older patients, find them. Children, et cetera, everything. Really dial in who you love to treat and find the market with the abundance of those kinds of patients. Now, are you going to love all your patients? Probably not. The goal is to find large numbers of those patients and then create a marketing message to drive those patients into your practice. But think about who you love today. So back to like my first topic, which is think about those 2 or 3 patients, go find large numbers of them. If you're having a challenge with that, maybe you're been out of dental school for, maybe you're listening, you've only been out of dental school for a few months. You probably maybe haven't formed exactly who your ideal patient is. That's why, I would love for dentists come right out of dental school to go become practice owners, but there's the financing. I'll talk about financing in a later podcast, but when it comes to demographics, it's really hard to, if I'm guiding a client on startup or if acquisition or something, and I say, great, who do you like to treat? They're like, well, I really don't know yet. This is who I've been treating at residency or dental school. That's why I think it's great to work in different environments, whether it's a DSO or private practice, to really have a greater understanding of this, ideal patient. Really start to understand like who you love to treat. So think through those today. Oh, we just had a fantastic vision call with two great dentists, Dr. Dallas and Dr. Mahale, husband and wife team. They're actually opening a second practice in the Midwest, I'll say that. And because while they like the practice that they purchased, which is in a more, I'll say, blue collar rural area of where they're at, they're slightly, I'll use the word unfulfilled. May not be the right term, but I'll say unfulfilled with the kind of dentistry they have access to. So one of the reasons they want to build this new practice, a secondary practice, is they bought their first practice and they have a great team. They've been able to transition things over the last few years. But one of the things they said, especially, is their patients in that practice that they currently own don't align 100% with the kind of training they've had in the long-term desires for the dentistry that they love, they truly love to perform. That's why it's really important when it comes to demographics, understanding what really demographics is. It's not about where you place the practice. It may not even be where you purchase the practice. It's where are the people that you want to treat, and in buying the practice or placing your practice, where those people are to attract them into your practice. That's why I always close out with like this topic when it comes to demographics, which is who are the people that you desire to treat? Because if you end up in the wrong with an area, folks, you can't put a, maybe you can, maybe it's on a trailer, but there's not too many practices. I've been a part of lots of startups, almost 1,000 startups in my career. None of them have a toe hitch on it. Well, we're in the wrong area. Let's go 3 miles that way. Practices aren't built on flatbed trucks. We can't just haul it to the next town over if you ended up in the wrong area, whether you bought one or whether you started up one. So that's why it's really understanding it. Demographics, so many people think, okay, I found this 3 mile circle. I should go in the middle of that 3 mile circle. Maybe you don't. And that's a real estate strategy, which is so many people think demographics, well, tell me where I place the practice. Kinda. It's telling you where the people are. And then we use this information to then say, okay, let's go find the real estate within this marketplace to attract, to be near these people, to bring these people into my practice. The opportunities lie right here. So I hope that gave you some insight when it comes to demographics. Reports tell part of the story. Live in the now. Don't look at the speculation of what could happen within a marketplace. Really understand like known factors. What is happening right now? What is that growth today? What does that look like today within that marketplace? Don't just say, well, somebody could move into this area in 5 years, possibly, or this area is going to get built up in 5 years. What if it never does? Live in the now. Think about your life choices. If you have a family, climate, schools, distance that you want to travel to your practice, rural versus suburban versus city. Think about those elements. Ratios. Numbers, yes, important, not the entire focus that you want to have, but look beyond the numbers and really understand who is my competition within this marketplace. How does that factor into my decision? And lastly, your ideal patient. Really get hone in on that. And how does that align with finding the right marketplace with the abundance of those kinds of patients? And then we'll talk about real estate. Where do we place that practice to attract those patients into your practice? Roads and things like that, all those things and how they get there. So hope that helped out. If you want to learn more about these strategies, then I say this, check out our most, we have a course coming up here really soon called Startup Practice Blueprint. We do this twice a year. I go through this in a ton of detail, especially with a couple of our senior advisors here where we talk about this, startuppracticeblueprint.com. Check that out. I know we sell out this course constantly, but this is a 2-day course where we dive deep into this topic along with all the other topics when it comes to startups, understanding, navigating financing, real estate strategies, marketing strategies, systems, floor plans, equipment, how to purchase, construction, all those different elements are there. Go to startuppracticeblueprint.com. Okay, that's a wrap on the topic of demographics. Don't forget to check the show notes for any and all links and sources that we talked about today. Next time, now that we have demographics, let's talk about some funding. And the landscape constantly changes on the topic of funding. I want to make sure that you are ready to talk to banks and that banks are just salivating to give you the best terms and the best conditions for your startup. I'll see you there. As we wrap up this episode, take a moment to picture yourself a year from now. Are you still in your associateship? Or are you rocking it at your own dental practice, creating beautiful smiles and making a real difference? If that's the dream, it's time to chase it. Before we split, make sure to hit subscribe, drop a review, and give us your rating. It helps us keep bringing you the good stuff that you're into. Until we meet again, keep taking that next step towards your future practice. Here's to investing in your dreams and making them a reality.